The grace, mercy, and peace of our triune God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I love a good parade. Whether it's marching or riding on a float or sitting on the side and watching it go by, there's nothing quite like a good parade. The first parade I remember being in was the Leon Valley 4th of July parade. If you don't know where Leon Valley is, it's okay. My father worked as a firefighter for the city of Leon Valley. So my sister and I were lucky enough to ride atop the fire truck down the parade route. I think I may have been 5 or 6, and man, did I think I was cool. I actually would probably think that was cool now, too, but that's besides the point. Little did I know, however, that this would be the first of many parades that I would participate in. Shortly after that, we moved to small town Burney, Texas. And growing up in small town Texas means you have a lot of parades. We had 3 a year. Anyone else, small town Texas, lots of parades? Ours were during Christmas, during summer, and of course, the county fair. I remember jumping down the parade route when I was on the jump rope team in elementary school. I remember dancing down the parade route when I was on the drill team in high school. And I even remember riding in a convertible when I had won Little Miss Burney at 10 years old. Thank you. To this day, though, I could not tell you how many parades I was in. And I actually remember being so grateful when the day came that I didn't have to participate in a Burney parade anymore. Because being a part of a parade is fun, but it also meant that I missed all the other parade entries. The Shriners in their funny hats driving around each other in their funny cars. The clowns making balloon animals and either delighting small children or terrifying them. The precise and well-rehearsed marching band filling the air with music. The performers, the acrobats, the dancers, the twirlers all ready to entertain. And there's nothing quite like seeing the joy on a kid's face as the fire truck goes by. Well, today, we find ourselves in the middle of a good parade. We are celebrating the Palm Sunday Parade, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The choir, children, and families all demonstrated this parade this morning, but I want to take you back to Jesus' time. So let's set the scene a little bit. It's the beginning of Passover week, the Jewish holiday, and Jesus is making his way back to Jerusalem and is about to enter the city from the Mount of Olives. Now, his disciples have urged him not to return. They have gotten word that the city might be dangerous for him to be there. But he goes anyway. And before he does, he sends 2 of his disciples to the nearby town to get a colt, a young donkey, for him to ride on in the city. Now, this is not an insignificant detail. Jesus did not enter the city on a donkey because it was the only animal they could find. It was always the plan. He chose a donkey because it was a symbol of peace, a sign of humility, and it was the fulfillment of what the prophet Zechariah had said. Once the disciples return with the donkey, they carefully spread their cloaks over it so Jesus has something to sit on. Quickly, a crowd begins to gather, and they too remove their cloaks and lay them on the ground. Others nearby cut down branches and leaves and make a path for him to travel. There aren't any drums or marching band or twirlers to accompany Jesus in this parade, but we do hear shouts of Hosanna. We do get the sense that there is feelings of admiration and praise and honor and glory, and this parade, it's a celebration. The participants are Israelites, and they have finally made it to the Promised Land. After being slaves in Egypt and traveling a long journey, encountering many trials, they have made it to Jerusalem, just like God had promised. And this is the cause of their Passover celebration, finally being free from bondage. But there's a catch. This celebrated freedom, well, it isn't quite freedom anymore. They are now under rule of the Roman Empire, persecuted yet again. So when we meet them during Passover week, they're looking for a savior, someone who can overturn the government, someone to lead the fight against the Romans. Hosanna, they cry. Save us. They lay down their cloaks and lift up their voice because they believe that Jesus is that one who has come to finally make things right. Now, it's important to note that this isn't the only first century parade taking place in Jerusalem that day. If families could afford it, they would make every effort to journey to Jerusalem for Passover, which meant the number of people roaming the city streets increased significantly. And to prevent any kind of uprising, Pontius Pilate and a crew of Roman soldiers, they also entered the city. But their parade looked a little different. Pontius Pilate rode in on a chariot. Horses and guards surrounded him, a bit more pomp and circumstance and theatrics. In Marcus Borg's book last week, he and co-author John Dominic Crossan described this entry as this: a visual panoply of imperial power, cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather army, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles mounted on poles. They imagined that the crowd would hear the marching of feet, the creaking of leather, the clinking of bridles, the beating of drums. But there are no shouts coming from these onlookers. These silent stares only convey shock and awe and maybe even resentment. So from the west side of the city, we have what we would probably accurately describe a triumphal entry, fit for a king, shining and shimmering in all its glory. And on the east side of the city, it's the triumphant entry we proclaim today, humble and lowly, on a borrowed donkey, with palm branches and cloaks as his royal carpet. On the west, soldiers elicit fear and promote the empire. Their goal is to intimidate. And on the east, disciples rejoice and convey peace. Their goal is to encourage humility and love and promote Pax Christi. The proclamation of the west, the power of the empire. The proclamation of the east, the kingdom of God. Two very different parades enter the city at the same time. And I'm not so sure that was just coincidence. If we could use our biblical imagination for a moment, I wonder what parade you find yourself at today. Maybe you're in a tense posture, watching a kingdom of domination move in. Maybe feeling worn down by power, stressed, scared, wondering what's coming next. Or maybe you find yourself in a different crowd, intrigued by new thought and curious about this new way of being in the world, the way of mercy and peace. Now, most of us, whether we want to admit it or not, tend to live by the politics of Rome. We are encultured to believe that power is the way, domination is the way, and even to achieve peace through violence. But the politics of Jesus, well, they're a bit more unpopular in America. The kingdom of God accomplishes its goal through humility and service and forgiveness and nonviolence and the kind of love that surpasses all understanding. A couple of days ago, I was driving down Guadalupe Street, leaving the church. And anyone who has spent some time on the drag knows that these streets are filled with those experiencing homelessness, sleeping in an alley, asking for money on a corner, walking with anticipation to their next location, hoping they will provide assistance. I have lived and worked in Austin for so long that sometimes now these people fall into the background for me. They become part of the surroundings, and I don't always notice them anymore. But on this particular day, when I was sitting at this stoplight of Guadalupe and 24th, I looked over to the side, and there was an old gray-haired man in desperate need of a shower, sitting between Einstein's and Wells Fargo, asking for money. Many passed him by. Some had their eyes narrowed on a screen. Some acknowledged his presence but dodged his request. Some ignored him completely. Until a young college student, dressed in shorts and tennis shoes and a UT shirt, backpack fixed in place, surely coming or going from class, he stopped. He looked him in the eye. He shook his hand, and he sat down. And they began engaging in conversation. And the student seemed genuinely interested in hearing this man's woes. From an outsider's perspective, it looked as though they were old friends. And as I watched this unfold, I couldn't help but notice, as Wesley would say, that my heart was strangely warmed. The light turned green and I was quickly on my way, so I didn't see how it ended. But in those 30 seconds that I witnessed this encounter, it was made perfectly clear that this student recognized and honored the humanity of that man. He looked him in the eye. He treated him with dignity and respect. He was participating in Pax Christi parade of humility and service and love. Earlier, Megan read our contemporary reading by Glennon Doyle Melton, who visited our church a little over a year ago. And I have come to know her as one who always speaks the truth, even if it's a truth that sometimes I don't want to hear. She said, "The best thing we can do now to collect beauty is to remember that life is in front of us." Simone Weil was a French philosopher, mystic, and political activist, very similar to Glennon. She said, "The capacity to give one's attention is a very rare and difficult thing. It's almost a miracle." 70 years before Glennon, and we find the same plea from another female activist. Look up. Pay attention. Life is in front of you. If the UT student hadn't taken time to look up and look around, he would have missed this opportunity to offer kindness to that homeless man. If I had been checking my email on my phone like I normally do at a stoplight, I could have missed this powerful moment of grace, this image of the kingdom of God unfold right before my eyes. See, to know what parade we are at, to know whether we're following the sounds of the clanking armor of the soldiers, or if we're joining in on the cries of Hosanna with the disciples, to know if we're caught up in a culture of power or a culture of peace, we have to look up. Maybe you echo Glennon's quote this morning and need to step away from all the screens that consume our energy, our phones, our computers, our televisions. Or maybe you're buried under paper, the newspaper, textbooks, piles of paper on your desk. Some of you may get so caught up in managing your family's schedule, trying to even pencil in time for the grocery store, that you're unable to even enjoy watching your daughter score that soccer goal or hear your son finish his piano piece for the first time without mistakes. Friends, life is messy and hard and sad and tiring and scary and full and empty all at the same time. But God wants to show you moments of grace, life-changing grace, to show you that there's life beyond death, life beyond politics, beyond schedules and schools and screens. So when the parade is in town, make sure that you take time to pause, to look up, to set aside material things and to celebrate with one another, to appreciate the beauty that is around you and to notice God's grace acting in the world. Amen.